when I had 18, I became certified as an EMT. I did that position and became a volunteer firefighter at the same time. I loved it. So the only way to get on the fire service back then was to be a paramedic. So I went to paramedic school in 1985 and was fortunate enough to be picked up by the city of San Diego as a paramedic. And I say fortunate because I was put on the ninth busiest paramedic unit in the nation at that time, running just over 22 calls a shift in a 24-hour period. That helped my skills out quite a bit, I believe. Because I was on a private ambulance with the city of San Diego. The city of San Diego had owned all the ambulances, but a private company owned the people. So that's how that system worked. But I still missed the fire side of things. So I went to and applied for the city of Escondido. Our call volume went from about 22 calls a shift to roughly, 16, 18, somewhere in there. And as a firefighter, paramedic. I loved being a paramedic, so I was picked up by Life Flight. So on my days off from the fire department, I was actually a flight medic. And a new program back in the early 80s developed where we had SWAT paramedics were coming to fruition. And so I worked as a SWAT paramedic with our police department. In 1999, I moved to Novato, California as a firefighter paramedic there. The call volume again decreased to about 14 calls a shift. Again, very busy systems. Throughout that, my career at Novato, I went to apparatus operator, fire captain, and then finally as a battalion chief, managing five full-time fire stations that had paramedics on every engine, and we had two paramedic ambulances. I was also the labor president during that time. I retired from Novato Fire and moved to Montana and continued to work with a volunteer system exactly like here in Heppner. I provided training for them, and they were just a little bit slower than Heppner's system. So again, I just wanted you to understand where I'm coming from and my experience in education that got me here today. So moving forward, if I was the fire chief of Morrow County, the entire county and every fire station in Morrow County was under my command, I would still be coming to you and asking for this change for the northern end of the county. The system that's in place in Heppner is exactly what it should be. The call volume and the population doesn't support changing that system. The issue that I'm confronted with is that have a much higher population. The majority of our taxpayers in the industrial area were I'm charged with fire protection and rescue and EMS is, I'm understaffed. So this approach is because of being understaffed on the fire side of things. By changing this ASA and allowing a fire-based model, it would be a benefit to the entire county as a whole. And I say that because for a couple reasons. For instance, last year Heppner called us half a dozen times for fire suppression personnel, and I could only send them one piece of equipment because of our staffing model. By having a fire-based EMS system, I could double that a response to it. Our outlying areas. If you approve this situation or this ASA, then I'd also be able to almost double my wildland firefighting capability. So today I can put out about two rigs right away. We had the ASA, then I could probably put three to four on. And again, as you know, what happened in Southern Oregon, my fear is that something would get away from us. Putting more equipment on the scene faster is always a benefit to the county as a whole. If the ASA was approved, this that I'm proposing, assuming that every health district employee that was currently with the health district wanted to come over, The next day, I would increase my staffing, fire protection staffing, by probably 50%. If none of them wanted to come, or they all wanted to stay with the health district, and I had to go out and provide, you know, hire those positions, I could increase my staffing, I could double it. So go ahead.
I've got a question that just non-ending for a long time. How do you pay for all this on Boardman Fire budget?
So the taxpayers in Morrill County approved a levy for ambulance personnel, full-time staffing, the ambulances, and so they're public assets. So the first thing I did is I called a public tax attorney and asked him, hey, if I try to do this, what are the ramifications, what am I allowed to do? And he explained it very simply, is that it doesn't matter if it was Boardman Fire, Morrill County Health District, Morrill County Sheriff's Department, the name doesn't matter. The taxpayers voted for ambulance service. And so those are all public assets. And therefore, I would ask, obviously, is that I only need what is being budgeted currently for the positions that I'm looking for.
So you're saying you would be asking to pull dollars from the EMS Health District levy budget out of that budget and over
Correct.
Into yours?
Yeah, that's how it was explained to me, how it would work.
And in my naivety, I guess, it seems like that would take a vote of the people, because the operating levy, and I'm assuming that's what you're referring to, and I think it's, what, 39 cents?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a three-year operating levy. That was presented to the tax, five-year operating levy, thanks, John. But that was presented to the people from the Morrill County Health District. And it's not just for ambulance service, but it's for a multitude of services that the health district provides. They have clinics, they have and the hospital, they have I mean lots of different services that they provide besides ambulance that are covered in that 39 cent operating levy. And I mean, I can see the benefit and level of service, but it just seems to me like that's got to take a vote of the people.
That's what I assumed it as well.
Yeah.
But the way he explained it to me is that the voters voted on the service. They've already voted on it. And it doesn't matter if it came from Morrill County Health, Boardman Fire, Morrill County Sheriff's. It doesn't matter. You literally take the name out of it because the voters voted on the service. And it doesn't. For example, if Morrill County, or if the health district would have came on the 24th of February and instead of saying, I'm here to renew, I'm here to withdraw, then all those public assets stay in place. And if it's a public agency that comes in and assumes, like, let's say Morrill County Sheriff's decided, yeah, we want to run the ambulance service, then those funds go to the Sheriff's Department. That's how it was explained to me. And it doesn't take a voter approval to do that, because they've already voted on the service.
Did you confirm that with our assessor by chance?
I did, with our attorney, the special districts.
Thank you.
I'm kind of the new guy in the room. It's my understanding that that levy wasn't specifically for EMS services, but for healthcare services provided by Morrill County Health District. The document I have on it indicates that it would be used not only for EMS, but for expansion of lab services and multiple other things as well. So, would be my understanding that wouldn't be a direct pass-through back over based on transfer of EMS services, based on the way I see the wording in it at this point.
Yeah, but because it actually, it addresses ambulances, full-time paid personnel and equipment in the levy itself. It's in writing in the levy, then a word claim from the way it's explained to me. And I'm not an attorney, I'm a firefighter.
So. And so where is that language stated?
It's in your current levy that you went out for, the last time you guys went out for a levy. That's in the levy itself. That language is literally in the levy.
You mean the ballot language?
Correct.
Yeah, We'd have to pull it to...
Yeah, I guess I'd have to pull it to see it, because that...
It's in there, yeah. Because, I mean, trying to anticipate what you guys would ask, you know, that's another thing that I pulled the documents. I got hold of Bonnie Childers and got the language from her.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll move forward, but that's a big question for me. And
yeah, I think Daryl's, I don't know how we get some clarity on it, but I think that's that's a big piece even to know in the future, right? I mean, for whatever reason, if Morrow County helped disband it and Hefner fired it or whatever, you got this out there, right? I mean, you want to...
Well, and it's written in the ASA right now that in the current one, it's in, is that if they decided that they were done, that the assets stay in place, and that the interim provider would use that equipment until you guys made a decision on who's replacing that. Now, if a public entity came in, obviously they can't use taxpayer, I mean, a private entity came in, then they can't use taxpayer dollars, and they have to figure that out themselves. But if a public entity came in, then it's no issue at all. They pick up the assets, keep moving along.
I suppose, Chair, it goes a little bit towards the discussion I was having earlier about Blue Mountain Community College, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they just floated a huge bond and whatnot. If somebody else absorbs that, does that go away? Do those get absorbed with the facilities, et cetera? I don't know.
Do you know what the dollar amount is that's attached to just the ASA?
So I know roughly what Boardman and Arrigan from, I'm not a budget person like Nicole is, and I've had to extrapolate what I could. And it looks like it's around $865,000. And I don't know if that includes ambulance payments, if it's just payroll and personnel, equipment. I don't know, because it's not the kind of budget I'm used to looking at. I'm used to looking at a line item where everything's marked out for you. And so as far as I can see, it looks like with ambulance payments and that sort of thing, I'm guessing, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it'd be somewhere around the $900 to $1 million range.
And so back to Chair Vessel's question, you're saying you can build this entire system off of $900,000?
Absolutely.
Staffing and full-time staffing and...
If I have the public assets that are in place and have that budget, yes, that's correct.
So there's a debt moves with it.
Correct.
As well as...
Absolutely.
However, the reimbursement on those expenses also comes from its operations. So it's not subsidized by the levies in totality. So that's not a legitimate number to say that much would come out of our existing tax levies, because we have a base and we have an operating levy.
Yeah, it seems like a large portion of the 1.5.
Yeah, so you guys have a 60.5 cent permanent levy in place, and then you have an additional 39 cent levy that you go out to. It's temporary levy that you go out every 5 years for.
Yes.
So that's where the funds come from. And like I said, it's going to take somebody like her to say, one of the examples that Nicole put out, she goes, no idea what time an IT person puts into the ambulance. Well, I couldn't tell you how much time my IT guy puts into, certain areas either. I wouldn't even begin to try to figure out that, because it's a wash in my mind. I still have the IT person, you still have your IT person. So it's stuff like that I don't know how it would be broken down. But there's a budget in place that takes care of personnel, equipment, facilities, and she's right. If they bought a new ambulance today, then we would be responsible for picking up that debt.
And nowhere in this proposal talks dollars.
I'm sorry?
Nowhere in the proposal was that budget in dollars, how that was going to work.
No.
This looks to just mirror the health district's proposal with word changes.
Exactly.
Is this a template that the state offered or something?
So, what I'm proposing is to enhance a system that's already in place. And yes, I did use the current ASA that's in place and just did what they've already established. They have a north ASA and a Southern ASA. And to be honest with you, after doing some thinking and under, you know, with all the north-south stuff, I would propose that we change the name to Willow Creek ASA and Columbia River ASA and drop these north-south stuff. But nevertheless, those borders are already determined in the ASA. What I did is I rewrote it as though you would approve it. And if you don't, then you don't. All I would suggest that if you do throw it away and say no, that you keep all the updated maps. All these maps are dated from 2020, and there were some that were 1997, 2007. These are all current maps outlining the current ASA as it stands today. The only thing that I addressed are that if you let us have the Columbia River ASA, obviously we would provide 24-hour service, meet national standard get-out times, provide continuous ambulance service 365 days a year without interruption, and it would always be ALS staffed, always.
So for those of us that are not acronym sensitive in this area,
ALS is Advanced Life Support.
Okay. And BLS is?
Basic Life Support.
Okay.
So, again, like trying to be good partners with the health district, there's occasion when, because they rely on a full-time person and a volunteer-based system. And occasionally, like in every volunteer system, we have trouble getting volunteers to come in. And that's not unique to Morrill County. This is a national thing. So there's been a few times that, and more times than not, the ambulance would be delayed or shut down if because their staffing couldn't work that day. Their volunteer staff. So. And for instance, I'll give you an example. Dell will call me and say, hey, I don't have a driver today. Well, last week I was driving the ambulance for him because I want to provide the best service to the community all the time.
So to be clear, we've actually looked into that a little bit. Yeah. We always have a driver on call. In the circumstance that we're aware of last week, there's other circumstances I'm happy to look into them. In the circumstance we're aware, we had a call in last minute. Dell was trying to find coverage when he got tapped out. Second, he got tapped out. He also called on Irrigan for mutual aid. They were already en route. Chief Hughes volunteered to drive the ambulance since Irrigan wasn't on site yet and it was necessary to transport that patient. We see that as working together on the north end of the county and not something where it's certainly part of the conversation here, but that's been part of our collaboration in the past of how we've done these things. After that call, they were able to get a volunteer driver resecured for the remainder of that shift.
And he's right. There's also been, on occasion, I'm not saying this is an everyday occurrence, any of these aspects, you know, whenever they're short on drivers, and it's usually a daytime thing, that's, you know, 8 in the morning till 6 at night, if we get the call, we'll fill the position. They're without, you know, asking for any reimbursement or anything that, because the taxpayers are already paying for us to be there. The other thing is, occasionally, if they're ALS staffing, takes a vacation, for instance, in lieu of shutting down the ambulance because they can't get somebody to backfill, that I will provide somebody to staff the ambulance so that it remains in service.
To add some clarity to this, we share a lot of staff. A lot of Chief Hughes staff is also our volunteer employees. So he may be giving them time off to come over and work the ambulance, which is much appreciated, but he's not staffing it for us necessarily, relying on our
And I would disagree with that wholeheartedly, and the reason why is because our staff has already been tapped to work on the ambulance, and they've all said no, and I've taken one of my on-duty staff, pushed them to the ambulance, and then backfilled the fire department because I have a system in place to do that. So, again, moving forward, my primary goal is to increase fire staffing with a secondary goal of providing ambulance service that meets national standards of, you know, get out times of within 60 seconds national standard. You can find that in the JAMA. It's a journal for American medicine. There was like 37 million 911 calls last year. And in a suburban area, like we're talking about now, ambulances are on scene within 7 minutes of the time of call out the door, and 60 seconds. We meet those standards currently today.
So I talked to, sorry, I've got to put it in the back here so I get this right. Wrong spot here. We've been in conversation trying to identify where some of these benchmarks came from, and I talked to Gary Wingrove, who's with the Paramedic Foundation, as well as Dudley Smith, who's with the Commission on Accreditation of Medical Transport Systems. Both of them indicated that 60 seconds was based on a national average from some of the larger paramedic systems throughout the nation. And it wasn't in any way an indicator or benchmark laid out in that article, according to them. And according to, again, Dudley, who's with the Commission on Accreditation of Medical Transport Systems, they would not ever implement a 60-second rollout time because there's too many variables across the nation in that. I will say, as a healthcare district, we recognize some opportunity to decrease our rollout times, and we think that we can do better there. It's not in our current ASA as presented. We really wanted to have this conversation and see how the commissioners were feeling and which direction they wanted to go. But we see some opportunity there as well. But we weren't able to identify that 60-second rollout time as a national benchmark outside of the JAMA article, where it was listed as here's what some places are doing and what their personal target is. According to Dudley, those are likely areas where they have the ambulance crew sitting in the ambulance and they have a block radius that they patrol in and that they're available to. When we're talking about Boardman or anywhere in Morrow County, we're obviously in a slightly different situation than that. I have no doubt that if Chief Hughes was able to staff the service 24/7 with both fire and EMS, which I think would... I think you could do with personnel. I think it would be a challenge from a budgetary standpoint, which has already been brought up. But if he was able to do that, he could absolutely decrease the response times. We're looking at some options. Again, working with Gary and Dudley, who are with these national organizations, as well as with our board of directors, that will allow us to decrease our response time and stay within a reasonable budgeted amount as well that wouldn't cause an additional burden on the taxpayers of Morrow County.
Yeah, so as far as the Hepner and model, it meets all the national standards. Most rural communities get an ambulance in about 14 minutes, and it's 1 out of 10 usually have an ambulance there within 30 minutes, which is basically what the current ASA looks like today. Some other things that were in the ASA that I think that because it was written some time ago is, like, for instance, the dispatchers have up to 3 minutes to get the call out. Well, that's a heartache for me, but nevertheless, they're doing it in about 45 seconds, and again, the national standard is about 60 seconds, so they're doing a really good job. Where we need to work on is getting the ambulance to the scene sooner, because not only is it a health care or a patient care issue, we another have another issue is that we still have a long transport time getting those patients to the hospital. So and like I said, we may have different opinions of how this model can be put into place and that sort of thing, but if I had the budget that they have in place now, I can make it work very easily. And again, I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone without increasing any burden to the taxpayers by providing increased firefighting capabilities and improving rollout times based on those larger cities that, the facts are that the population in the northern end of the county triples during the daytime to about 15,000. And the nighttime, everybody's driving out. Well, and in the northern end of the county, there's 200 homes slated this year to be built. There's another 200 next year. There's a new truck stop going in right now. There's light commercial going in, there's more industrial. So my problem's not getting easier, it's getting worse. And so I'm trying to stay ahead of the curve. I'm behind the curve as it is. I'm trying to get a little bit ahead of it and provide Morrow County with better fire service. And as an offshoot of that, they would enhance the current EMS program that's in place. Nicole?
I'm just curious about the staffing 24/7. Is that dedicated EMS staff? Or is that someone who might take a fire call? Because you said you could send more people out on a fire call. And then what does that do to the ambulance staffing if you send more out on mutual aid or other things?
Yeah, excellent call, question. So the staffing would be a three-person engine company and a two-person dedicated ambulance crew. Again, if it was 100% fire medical cross-track staff, as soon as that ambulance rolled out, then I would recall our volunteers, much like you do today on everyday calls, and they would staff the second out ambulance so that we would always have an EMS component. So in the fire side of things, when we go to a structure fire, for example, and we deploy all those people on the structure fire, we still call for EMS to cover in case we have an injury, we find a victim, and we're required to do rehab. And the EMS personnel, even today, right now, if we go on a fire, the EMS personnel manage the rehab portion of that, so that we meet the criteria set by the NFPA, and as far as our workload and how long we can be in and how long we have to, our rest periods have to be before we go back to work.
So I guess I just struggle with a couple of other factors here. And again, I think that we can do things to improve the service in that section of the county, and I think we really need to look at that. I don't see how the numbers work out with having to add potentially an additional 6 to 8 staff members, firefighter, paramedics, on a decreased reimbursement, because if we get an increased reimbursement as a hospital-based ambulance service, how all that works out budget neutral at the end of the year.
Well, like I said, if I have the 900,000 to a million that I think that's budgeted somewhere in there that it appears to be currently, I think that the budget I saw right now is 862 if you combine more than a Nerigan. You know, you're looking at roughly $85,000 to $90,000 per employee, and that includes salary and benefits.
So hold on just one sec. So when you say that that's your budget or that's the number that you're coming up with that would equate to what you take out of the levy, how are you arriving at that? What numbers are you using to come up with that?
Yours.
Okay, so you're using pure expenses.
I'm using what you, well, I don't know if it's you, but whoever budgeted the resources, revenue for those positions, I'm using your numbers. I'm not coming up with my own numbers. I'm just using what you guys have dedicated to the boardman, what you've dedicated to Garrigan, and it looks like that you're making a couple of payments on an ambulance or two. I'm coming up with those numbers. I came up from your budget.
Okay, you from the audited financial statements as actuals?
And your current budget as it's.
Okay, so when you look at the expenses less what the income is, whatever the shortfall is that is not covered by what we generate in runs and our enhanced reimbursement, like Ryan said, would be the amount that comes out of the levy to support the functions of that service, not the whole amount of their expenses. You're not considering the revenue generated from the runs.
Correct.
So the levy doesn't support it at 900,000.
And that, you know, all I'm doing is reading your numbers. So, and I don't know, because there was no way for me to extrapolate what your, how much you charge, how much you recover from each ambulance chance, but there's no way that I can get that out of your information.
Yeah, but it also wasn't requested of us.
No, I'm just saying, based on
request of us. I'm just trying to be clear that hasn't been asked for from
Right, and I didn't ask for that. I looked at their audit and looked at their budget.
Well, I think that's part of what this work session is for, is to work through some of these issues. I would also make the argument that while some public funds have been used to pay for our equipment, those aren't public assets, those are district assets. They're wholly owned by the district, not by the county or...
We don't own any of our equipment. They're owned by the public. And so if Boardman Fire shuts down tomorrow, we can't sell all the assets. They belong to the public. All your ambulances...
That's not true. Morrow County Health District owns our assets. We own our buildings. If we were to shut down, we would sell. There'd probably be some sort of agreement with the county and all of that, but we own our assets.
Yeah, and if we dissolve our district, taxes and teller debts are paid in full.
Right.
And we're a municipal corporation, so...
It's structured a little bit different than your setup is what that comes down to.
So where does the new ambulances come from to create a separate entity then?
His plan supports taking ambulances from the district. We would argue that those are our assets and they would have to be purchased from the district if that was going to be the case.
Yeah, of course. I would argue the other thing, and that's where, you know, unfortunately, I don't want to burden the taxpayers with hiring attorneys to work all that out, but that's what they get paid for. And, you know, I'd rather we work that together. The assets are in place. Why would you, if you allow this ASA, why would they not provide those ambulances to the public? I would not want to be the one sitting behind the newspaper article that says entity won't give an asset that's in place. But that's not up to me.
I certainly got more questions than answers.
I think what would be helpful to me is just to have a really straightforward conversation with Chief Hughes, with the commissioners about where we actually can improve services. And Chief Hughes has presented his plan on how he would do that. I also still have some questions on that. I would have questions about anything I could say to you right now as well. But if we could identify what we want that service to look like, not only in that section of county, but throughout the entire county, and then we could reasonably come back as a health district after conversations with our board, which any increases in expenditure would involve a conversation with our board, and represent how we could potentially meet those metrics. I think that might be what's most beneficial, rather than trying to look at these two plans, which are really similar in some ways and really far apart in other ways. So if there's things that the commissioners would like to see, I would love to have some conversations about that and how the district could possibly meet them, and how Boardman Fire would possibly meet.
So what you would do to increase the service areas that are...
Increase the services. Like I said, I agree that we have an opportunity to decrease our out-the-door time. I would prefer to look at overall response time than just out-the-door time. That's one section of the overall picture of that. I think we have opportunity there. I think that we have some things that we can do to improve that. But are there other concerns? To our knowledge, Chief Hughes, commissioners over there, Chief Hughes said that, you know, he's not questioning the quality of care that's being rendered. But I think there's always room for improvement in that as well. So if there's things that the commissioners would like to see, the current national benchmark on overall response time, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chief Hughes, but it's right around 6.5 to 7 minutes, depending on which sort of study you go with. Right now, the district's not meeting that in that area. Now, the other thing to look at is, depending on which one of those studies you look at, one of them is based on a population of 2,500 to 3,000 for their differentiating marker. The other one's based on a population of 5,000. And as Chief Hughes has pointed out, we have two different populations up there depending on what time of day it is. So we also could potentially look at work hour calls versus after hour calls as well, and how best we meet those needs as well. So I think there's several things we can explore as part of this work group and figure out how we really get there. And to conversations I had with the commissioners, are there ways for us to work together with Boardman Fire rather than this being an either or is there or is the district, with our track record of providing the service over the years, we're certainly seeing some changes in certain sections of the county that need to be addressed.
Well, and strategically, we're posed to do that, the Health District Board, in terms of looking ahead at the growth that's coming in Boardman and how we address that and be ready to respond to that and do that through our operations and our course of business that we've already been charged with.
We currently have the assets available. We currently have trained staff in place. If we were to expand the service, we could easily bring on additional trained staff. We also have all the operational and overhead pieces that aren't addressed in Chief Hughes' plan, as far as it's not just knowing that you can bill, you have to have people that can bill for those ambulance services. You have to have the contracts in place with the payers. We have all of that structure already in place as well as a health district. So I think we have a lot of that in place to really build on. I would hate to, as a county, tear all of that down and start from square one.
And I just look at it a little differently. I don't think we'd be tearing it down. We'd just be enhancing or improving a system. And the health district model only takes care of the two problems. I'm still faced with trying to figure out how to provide fire service and fire protection. And the model that I'm proposing is a model that's used everywhere. I mean, our neighbors next door to us are on the exact same model. I'm not arguing the fact that billing is an issue, but every agency has those capabilities, whether left the contract in place with the health district if they wanted to continue that, or went to a neighboring agency and had them bill. All that kind of stuff is not a difficult thing to take care of. My point is that, as an offshoot, I would improve EMS care in the northern end of the county while enhancing firefighter capabilities. That is my number one goal. And my number one fear is, if this industrial area was in Portland, they'd put 100 firefighters on it. If I have the same issue today, if I'm lucky, I'll get 7 and then have to call on mutual aid resources. And I'll just give you a quick example. We had Western and Alfalfa had a significant fire at the beginning of the year. With my personnel and staffing, I could only fight two sides of that fire and had to call on mutual aid resources, which took up to 45 minutes to arrive. And so basically having that kind of time to burn creates, that processing plant is gone. They're going to have to rebuild from scratch. Where if I can get more people on the fire sooner, I can reduce costs to our taxpayers at the end of the day. That's what it comes down to. It's just that, the model that I'm proposing takes care of two things, not just one, not just an EMS delivery system. It takes care of a fire service issue as well.
I would argue that, since the operational levy is part of the conversation here, we all know that we use those funds for much more than just the ambulance service. We have a clinic in Irrigan. We're looking at substantial increases in services we provide in that section of the county, because that's where we're seeing the population and industry growth, just like we've already discussed. So if we were to, if the ambulance service was to go over this direction, we anticipate we would lose that levy and or it would be reassigned in the next vote in some way, shape, or form. And that would prohibit us from doing some of those expansions as well. So we're looking at multiple fronts on this as well. He's looking at EMS and fire. We're looking at EMS and multiple healthcare pieces. I would prefer to keep this really focused on how we improve EMS services, because that's what the ASA is in relation to.
So is there a, because Morgan Fire just recently passed a bond levy for a new facility, new fire station. And I'm assuming that you have plans. It's still under drawing. It's early design phase still. But for 24-hour staffing, that could include EMS. And maybe there's an opportunity for the health district and Portland Fire to work together on that 24-hour staffing out of that facility.
I'd like to address that if I may.
Okay, using joint resources.
When we were going out for the bond and the bond passed, I met with the previous administrator, and basically told them exactly what you just said. You know, build a new fire station. My plan is to have your people in the station for all sorts of reasons. Continuity, morale, you know, they're eating together, responding to calls, they're training together. No interest at all. As soon as Mr. Fellows came on board, I met with him, and to his defense, he'd been on duty like 48 hours, and I'm throwing all this at him, and he's like, you know, you're going to have to give me some time. I got some other priorities, which are understandable. The only reason why I came here today is because, or last month, is that I was shocked that they were, you know, the renewal was up. I figured we wouldn't talk about this until June, and that would give him, you know, a few more months to get here. But the point is that every step that I've tried to make has been shot down, and it's, you know, we lose our identity, or, and I don't agree with that identity thing. It says Morrill County Health District on the ambulance. I think that if you went out and surveyed the community, it'd probably be 50-50. You know, who provides the ambulance? It'd be, one would be, I don't care who it is, what the name is. I dial 911, I want somebody to show up and take care of me. And then the other half would be, it's a health district or the fire district. You know, that's the answer you would get. So, to address your question, yes, there will be sleeping facilities that will be able to accommodate a ambulance crew, a fire engine, a truck company, and eventually a battalion as we continue to grow and have to bring in more fire service assets as the community grows and those taxes roll in to allow us to do that. But the intention all along was to keep closing this gap with EMS and fire, and whether they want to be in the station or not, the facilities will be there.
And I wasn't here for that conversation
right.
with Bob, obviously. What I would say is, as the CEO, I would have anticipated that conversation happening before that as you went out for bond with plans to put the ambulance in the fire station, rather than after the bond had been approved. So I can see where Bob might have been taking a little back by that, been like, wait a minute, no, hold on, you don't get to build a building and just hang our ambulance, it's going to go in there without some conversation beforehand. So I can see where that might have been a little bit of a sore point on that. Our conversation, I thought, was very good. It was very much about collaboration and how we can work together. And I'm still committed to seeing if we can find ways to do that. The way some of this has progressed has made that a little bit difficult right now. I think we need to get past this so we can explore some of those areas.
I guess I have a question a little bit about, because I'm wrestling with the idea of the main reason being to increase firefighters for Boardman and the Port area. At the expense of the ability of the health district to provide services throughout the county, which includes Irrigan and our Irrigan clinic and outreach to home health and hospice and all those services that we have in the north end. It's going to take a hit when it's pulled out for Boardman firefighters and Port. You know, the CREZ 2 board approved purchasing, correct me if I'm wrong, Don, $1 million fire truck. How does that fit into the future, for example? Or should we be addressing these questions to the city of Boardman and the port? I would think the port would want to take an interest in providing safety to their tenants, not at the expense of the health district providing services throughout the county. For example, I heard rumor that the fire truck doesn't apply anymore. Is that correct, Chief?
What?
The new fire truck isn't really the direction you were wanting to go.
Oh, it wasn't the direction that I wanted. And it's not the truck that I would order today.
Right.
But it's very functional and it does its job. And I would, again, moving forward, would have a whole different type of apparatus. It basically does the same thing at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, and it's not the aerial truck.
It's not the aerial truck. That aerial truck is
a different one that Boardman Fire purchased, took ownership of. At the transition between Chief Robblestad and Chief Hughes.
Right. Right.
And so, new chief, different philosophy, would have ordered a different piece of equipment. But
yeah, just exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to me that the Port Commission needs to step up if there's a danger to the port tenants a little bit. You know, I'm just speaking as one port commissioner, but, you know, I just have a difficulty as a Morrill County Health District Board member having $1 million pulled out of our budget that is supposed to be for providing more than just ambulance services throughout the county.
Yeah, and you know, my approach isn't just to protect the port and industrial area. It's also to protect our wildland side of things, and we also do rescue and hazardous materials. So we got a whole gamut of things, and you know, I don't know the taxpayers that well like you guys may, but I was told when we went out for this bond that you've never passed one before, so good luck. And you know, I think it's all in your approach and how you present the information. I personally think that if you get the information out to your taxpayers and tell them how important your clinic is and your hospice and all that, that they're going to continue to support something that's already in place. So I mean, that's an unknown whether it's going to shut down or not. All I know is that, you know, I'm trying to not increase, go before the taxpayers and say, give me more firefighters, because it doesn't make sense for me to add firefighters and increase the taxes when there's a system in place that we can utilize. You know, again, addressing just the EMS side alone, that doesn't help me at all. You know, my focus is I increase firefighters and enhance EMS at the same time. It's not trying to, you know, it's one system in my mind and not two separate systems.
The last levy passed with an 80% margin supplemental levy, so and rather historic turnout of voters too.
Correct.
So it tells me that the county has faith in the North County Health District and the services that they provide, whether it's Boardman, Ion, Lexington, doesn't matter where.
Right.
80% is 80%. So I guess I.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, if the county commissioners allow this this plan that I'm proposing to go forward, then, you know, when it's time for you to go out for your levy for your clinics, and we'd be right there standing beside you saying, yeah, hey, this is important. We've transitioned the ambulance over to the fireside, but you still need to have these things in place. Again, we'd be there to support you. And, you know, even though this feels like, you know, I'm trying to break down the health district, again, we work really, really well together. And, you know, I'm just trying to solve two problems and with one swipe. And, you know, again, if they say no, they're not going to change the ASA, it doesn't solve my problem. You guys can correct your get out times and your response times and build the infrastructure that I already have in place to make all that happen. But to me, you know, I've got it all in place. If they said yes, I could tomorrow, literally, if your health district people came over, I could spool up tomorrow and make this happen. So if none of your employees want to come over, then it would take me probably 60 to 75 days to roll up.
Chief,
yes?
Can I ask you what your plan is for Irrigan? Because I know Boardman outlines paid staff, and Irrigan wasn't really clear to me, so I'm kind of curious on that.
So the Irrigan model that I would propose is that right now, my understanding is the same system. So you have a staff person and you wait for a driver. So I would propose that, like Ms. Fowler said, is that we look at their call volume, and when those calls come in, they would be required to be at the station, not responding from home and that sort of thing. So they'd be
both staff members?
Yes, yep. So they would physically be in the station during those response times. And then in the lower, slower side of things, like Ms. Fowler was saying, we would backfill with out of Boardman and then backfill the Boardman ambulance with the volunteers. The other thing is that I don't know day to day if the ambulance is an ALS ambulance or a BLS ambulance. I just don't know. We don't know. It gets dispatched, they're called 899 or 299. No idea if they're an ALS ambulance or a BLS ambulance. One of the off things that I would propose is that we call those medic 899 or ambulance 899. Then everybody that's and this is an easy fix, 30 seconds, that they could do today. Everybody knows when that ambulance goes, whether it's a mutual aid or in town, whether it's an ALS ambulance or a ALS ambulance. So just little things like that we could add. And then, again, for me, you know, having the staff in the stations, being directly supervised, and that would enhance our training and that sort of thing, so we're always working together.
So I may have missed that. I just need some clarification. So you would have staff in Irrigan during prime hours and after hours, would it be covered by Boardman?
Correct. Because you're still getting out. By the time your staff, the Irrigan staff, recalls from home and gets on the road, we're going to be arriving roughly the same time.
I'm going to say that I live in Irrigan, and that's not going to happen. We have volunteers in Irrigan that would respond to my home faster than volunteers from Boardman.
No, it's not volunteers. That's
what you say it would be 24/7.
Yes, 24/7.
Correct. Yes, 24/7.
Correct. And that's the model I look at currently. And if I know what the 100% what's going on in Boardman. In Irrigan, I'm not 100% clear on what their travel time from home to their station is.
And they all live around.
Correct. And so if their system, if they could get there in, you know, 2 to 3 minutes instead of the 7 to 10, then I would put in the same system that they have. They just call back their personnel.
So nothing really would change in Irrigan other than that second person, the driver?
Correct.
Whatever.
Currently, that's correct.
So, and again, just, I really want to keep this conversation focused on improving the quality, improving the response times, et cetera, but you just committed to adding another staff member as well, and again, all this money has to come from somewhere. I have concerns about that, because even if we commit to making these improvements from the commissioners, we have to come up with that money somewhere to provide this additional staff. Above and beyond what's already in our budget, what's already supplemented, whatever the case might be, we have to come up with that. So again, I know I've said this multiple times, but I've emphasized the district is open to and committed to improving the response times. We can look at ALS versus BLS. I think the same things that would decrease our response times would correct for the ALS-BLS issue that Chief Hughes just brought up. And I think we can achieve the same things. I certainly appreciate where he's coming from with trying to improve fire service as well. I don't want to do that at the detriment of the overall health system throughout Morrow County and the improvements that we would like to make in the coming months and years. So it's kind of two sides to that coin, I guess. He wants to improve fire, and I want to make sure we maintain what health services we have and continue to improve those health services without having that endangered by losing the EMS services anywhere in the county.
So from a financial perspective, I would really like to see this budgeted on paper. What it would cost you to run it? And versus what it costs us to run it. I mean, if you really want to look at what, you know, the services difference would be and what you could potentially get from a health district levy in equality of what it's subsidizing us to do the same thing. Because, I mean, doesn't it really all come down to public dollars? I mean, just from a fiscally, you know, moderate stewardship, I think that's really what this.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I mean, if you could give me the numbers that you're currently providing for both Irrigan and Boardman, and you know what the salaries are, what the benefits are, what you're paying for fuel, then I could do that easily.
Well, I think you need to come up with what it would cost you to run it.
All
I'm saying is that for you to run this system on your own, billing, all of it, the entire thing, what's your budget for that? Because if the dollars don't come from the health district, then that's still what that would cost you to do it. Like, I mean, because we get, I mean, what it costs us to do it and what we make on it is different than what it's going to cost you to do it, because we already have billing staff in place for our entire health district, for all of our organizations. So that's absorbed into them. So to extrapolate the portion of it that belongs to Boardman and Irrigan Ambulance is not what that's going to cost you. to take that on and add that as a new thing to the fire department. So then what it costs for our insurance is different than what it costs for you. What it costs us for, you know, our what we gain on our reimbursement as a hospital-based ambulance service is different than what you're going to be able to negotiate on the open market with the payers. So I feel like when you look at what your actual true budget is going to be, that is different than what our expenses are currently and what we make on it and what we subsidize from the levies.
So for me, there's a couple of things. First, my only ride in an ambulance, I was 16 years old and was in a pretty horrific motorcycle wreck. And the ambulance came from Umatilla to come to Boardman, so that, and they were volunteers. So the out-the-door time was a long time. The 20-minute drive on a two-lane highway at that time was a long time. And then the ride back to Hermiston for the hospital was a long time. It's much better today. But I do know that Chief is right, that your EMTs respond from home, and there's a lag time in out the door versus somebody that's waiting at the station. If we could decrease that lag time, that's a win for everybody.
Great.
Where I'm really unclear is, as a taxpayer and a voter, I voted for an operating levy for the Morrill County Health District. I don't think I voted for an operating levy for the Boardman Fire to take over some of those resources that the health district has. I'm not sure that's legal in my mind, and I need to get clarification on that. I don't, but I think that the opportunity for collaboration and getting out the door quicker is something that we all strive to get to. You know, sometimes 6 minutes or 7 minutes is the difference between being alive and doing well and being alive and not really having much for mental capacity because you starve for oxygen too long.
Okay. But the ambulance service is never closed. There's always somebody on call through the whole county. Always. So, but we can work on improving times by hiring personnel, but it's never closed. There's always another ambulance to call. There's always, our mutual aid is with all the surrounding counties with us. It's time, but it's never closed. There's never not going to be an ambulance.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And what I'm getting at is that from time to time, Irrigan ambulance, for example, may go out of service for the day or whatever, and then Boardman has to respond over to Irrigan to cover that. I'm not saying there's never not an ambulance. I'm just saying that that increases the response times and everything else that goes along with that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But it's covered. It's
right. Yeah, there's, I mean, worst case scenario, you know, both Boardman and Irrigan are gone, and you can't staff the third ambulance, and they come from you know, mutual aid or from this area. I'm not arguing that the ambulance is closed. It's just that an ambulance may not be available or staffed from time to time.
And that could potentially happen, especially if we're transporting a patient to Hermiston or whatever. We would rely on our mutual aid agreements to come in and cover our area.
Same thing with mass casualty and everything else that comes along with that.
Right. And just like you've had to respond and with mutual aid agreements that you were talking about earlier, where you had to dispatch your stuff, that takes resources out of Boardman.
Right.
But if all of a sudden there was an event at the port that you would have to be trying to recall them from wherever else you sent your mutual aid agreement. So I think that's a normal occurrence in EMS. I think our any emergency service, I should say. I think that our current model, I would agree, was designed at a different time. I'm actually appreciative of this conversation because it gives us a good chance to really look at what service is currently being provided up there by the district and how we can enhance it, how we can improve it. And it has happened over the years. Like you said, you know, when you were 16, it was a whole different animal than it is now. But it's probably time for us to really examine that again and say, how can we do better? How can we provide a better service for the citizens of Morrill County as a whole, specifically in these areas where we're seeing population growth? And I think that's a conversation that can happen. I think the health district would like to be the lead on that conversation. I think we'd like to come back to the county commissioners with, again, we have to talk to our board. We haven't had one board meeting since this came up, and we didn't have Chief Hughes plan at the time or have even a clear picture of what all the concerns were. So this allows us to go back to our board and have a conversation with them and see what support we would have from our board on these. I can't imagine they wouldn't be supportive within reason. Again, we have to make this work within some budgeted constraints. And what I'd like to present back to the county commissioners is a realistic approach to that that takes into account not only the quality considerations, the ALS versus BLS, the decrease in response times, anything that we can possibly look at with a realistic budgeted funds attached to that and where that money would come from, and what impact that might have in other areas. As a hospital district, we work ultimately on a set budget as well at the end of the year, and anything that we reallocate to enhancing ambulance service is going to come from somewhere, because there's not going to be more runs, there's not going to be more bills paid. That money has to come from somewhere. And that's where we really have to involve and talk to our board about what has to change elsewhere in the district to make that happen.
Luckily, if those homes get built, you have increased property values and more tax dollars coming in to reinforce those. So
correct.
That's our only income additional generator.
Right. Yeah, the same with us.
Yeah, and personally, I don't think anybody cares when they call for EMS services, what color the ambulance is or whose name on it. They just care if you get there before the Green Ridge or not.
I agree with that.
And so, yeah, that's, and we need to, I think we as a group need to figure out that, because I still just, it doesn't make sense to me that I would vote for an operating levy for Morrill County Health District, and then all of a sudden that operating levy transfers to Boardman Fire, especially if I'm in Irrigan and Boardman Fire doesn't have any jurisdiction over Irrigan.
I would state that the district has those same questions and concerns.
Yeah.
And so if anybody gets a clear answer on that, we would appreciate hearing what that answer was as well.
Yeah, we'll talk with our county assessor and our legal counsel on it.
Boardman Fire and Rescue has an ambulance currently.
We have an ambulance, yeah.
Well, they have a rescue vehicle.
That brings up another issue that I'd like to address briefly. But the ambulance is licensed to transport. We are not. And therefore, we're using it as a light rescue. And what I would ask, no matter what happens here, is that we are giving an opportunity to have a transport license in as a backup to the backup. In other words, all their ambulances are out, and instead of waiting for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, we can staff that and run on the call and transport the person in a timely manner, especially in a mass casualty type of incident. We're going to be strapped for resources anyways. We have the capability of transporting. We have the qualifications to transport. We just need the okay from the ASA to allow us to do that. So whether you shoot this down or not, we would look to asking for a transport capabilities, not to take, if the health district remains, just as a backup to them. In other words, we could put steps in place that Irrigan's gone, Boardman's out, and they can't staff their third out ambulance, and we can, that we have the ability to take care of our people at the end of the day. I'm talking about our community.
That seems like obvious mutual aid conversations outside of this.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me. The big mass casualty events I've seen in the north end of the county are usually weather caused on the freeway. Dust storm. There was a fog event one time where somebody couldn't see and they just stopped in the middle of the road, and it was a multi-car pileup, and a lot of people had to go to an ambulance, go to the hospital.
Around Hefner, it's generally flooding.
And nobody can gear up all their resources. I always use the term, nobody can gear up church big enough for Easter Sunday or Christmas Sunday, any of our small fire districts can't anticipate having enough staff on hand for the one major event that could happen once a year or once every 5 years, and that's why we have mutual aid agreements.
Chair, a quick question. One of the, we've got our criteria that we have to directly look at. Well, which is one thing, but it also talks about the county may designate, you know, your emergency ambulance provider in the ASA and a one or more non-emergency ambulance providers in the ASA. Have we done that in the past?
In the past, I don't believe so.
Because I'm wondering if, I mean, certainly if we do that, it would seem like some of those dollars are attached as well, you know, to that, curiously enough. But it sounds to me like both entities are able to make one and one is three. They can enhance this service by, you know, doing the fire, or doing the additional thing the health care providers do, and that's something we can certainly weigh, but it's really not in the X's and O's. I don't know that I need to see the chief's fiscal plan for this. You know, he says, here's my plan, here's what I can do to meet all these criteria, right? It's not up for us to say, well, you know, let's look at your model and see if it works. Certainly, if part of the model is I've got to absorb those public assets, we need to probably look and see whether it can absorb those. But he might be saying, hey, I can do X, Y, and Z regardless of whether I can absorb those. And that's a whole different conversation, I suppose. I do appreciate that, you know, I asked Ryan the other day, I said, it says you have to be tall, this tall to ride the ride. You have to be right to here to get these ASA dollars. You know, that means response time of 3 minutes or 4 minutes or 5 minutes. You got to be this tall to ride the ride. And he said, yes, and we are there. Everybody's, you know, both entities certainly are there. I appreciate the fact that he says we're not satisfied, and maybe this is a good thing that this brought up, that we're not satisfied being this tall. We want to grow. We don't want to plateau. You know, I think and probably going to, they're going to take a pretty strong look regardless of what happens, and I think that's a good thing. But I want to be careful that we don't get above and beyond what we have to do here. And you must have done this 4 or 5 years ago. Yes, it's every 5 years.
Every 5 years.
And but it does allow, as I read the ORSs, et cetera, that if for some reason 2 years down the road, you know, everything goes to pot and people aren't getting taken care of, the county has the ability to step in and say, this isn't working. You know, because ultimately we have that responsibility. So, but it must be reviewed at least every 5 years. So,
Oregon Health Authority reviews it all.
Say
after you see it, the Oregon Health Authority mm-hmm. has to approve the SA plan.
Yeah.
But they don't have any say in response times and
sure.
No.
That's all on us by county to county.
Yeah, they so. Give us their what they will allow maximum.
So how long have we got before we need to send this in? The last time it was done was June of 5 years ago. So
yep.
we've still got a little bit of time to answer, I guess, the unanswered questions that I've got that really make or break whether this is a viable option, which is unclear to me right now. But in the meantime, I would encourage both entities to talk about ways to collaborate and improve the service for their mutual customers. So I think that's where we should leave it, is we need to find out the answers on the operating levy, and we'll get that done through our assessor and our legal counsel, and if you guys have a different opinion on legal counsel, we would certainly like your attorney to talk to our attorney on it. But
well, if there's truly a competing proposal, I agree, but I'll need to get into the deep nuts and bolts of the district's budget. But I would want to see more than just someone else's plan and my name inserted in it. I would want to see something more than I just think I can strip $1 million from someone else's budget. I would want to see more than I think I can get my ambulances from taking your ambulances. I would need to see a complete plan that is, you use the word viable, absolutely viable, or I'm going to go to Ione and Hefner and tell them there's $1 million to strip out of the district and some ambulances. Maybe you get a better fire department, and we all need to do that. So there's got to be a plan and numbers and maybe a letter of opinion that doesn't cost me money, the taxpayers' money, or the district money, that says, I think I can strip these things out of another entity, and that's how I'm going to make it work. And further, what are you going to do with your EMS people that are now on a fire, because it sounds like you're sharing employees? I think I need to see your actual plan, not the health district plan with your name in it. That makes sense, because right now, all I hear is I can strip this, and if you don't let me, I'm going to go to the media. I need to see a real plan that is how this is viable, because that's all I hear, is you have the dollars and you have the equipment and I can take it. That's the only proposal I see. And so this is not a proposal to me. This is an incomplete RFP answer using theirs. So if you really want to do that, then I need to see a true competing, what it looks like and why you think you can do it that way. Then I can compare apples to apples, because right now yours is very incomplete as to how you're going to get from A to B.
Well, and I think that by Commissioner Russell's comments of once the legal people weigh in and say whether it's viable or not, if they say it's not viable, then the discussion's over. If they say it is, then the plan becomes very simple from there.
So who's legal people? So we're expending all three of our districts' money on lawyers? Is that where we're trying to get the answer? Who's legal people is going to try to research?
Well, I think we need to have our own answer if we're being asked the question. I mean, I wouldn't want to rely on a vested party's legal research on it. I would want my own independent answer, at least my attorney to, if nothing else, have a conversation with the same attorney that Chief Hughes has talked to, or if the health district has a completely different opinion, have Justin talk to their attorney and say, or Justin just looks at it and it's a, but we've got to get our own legal counsel's buy-off on it that we can do it that way. That's not my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And then I would need to see a budget that actually shows that this can work, because I don't know that it, what I'm hearing, it may not be able to function on a $900,000 stripped out of the loan in full, if you include buying ambulances and et cetera. And if the plan is for the enterprise zone to buy those ambulances, then that needs to be very clear, because that was turned down in the past. So I need to have a complete picture of how we set up a brand new ASA entity, because it is our responsibility to know it's viable. And I don't see that. It may be something you can put together, but it's not here now as a competing proposal.
So for me, I think that for us as a county to find out whether it can be done that way or not, I mean, I'd hate to see Chief Hughes or the health district go to a lot of work preparing a budget for something that can't legally happen. But I would like to see them work together on ways to collaborate and improve the service people that need it.
I agree.
I guess my question or my concern is kind of philosophical. Maybe we may find out that it can be stripped, and you may vote to do it. What is the county going to think of that? What are these voters going to think of this whole process? You just stripped money from the North County Health District to put in Borden Fire to provide services to the North End, when that impacts the healthcare delivery possibilities for the whole county. I mean, what are people going to think of that? When there's a chance to collaborate and come up with the same conclusion, but no, we went that way? Ooh.
Well, it's not going to be that amount of subsidy, because just in what I provided him, let's take Boardman, for example, their gross patient revenue is $490,000, and their expenses without overhead, meaning not IT, not billing, not Ryan, not me, is $465,000. That's a $25,000 gain without any contractual adjustments to the gross revenue, meaning what bad debt we can't collect, rents that are not no insurance, discounts from payers. So you're probably another 40% off of that. And then some overhead allocation. So what the levy supplements these services beyond its own operations is not $1 million. It's not that.
It would be a really easy exercise to figure out what a 39-cent operating levy gets you in the combined Boardman and Irrigan Fire District, which is the proposal tax base. That to me, that's an easy number to come up with, and that would be the base budget.
You can provide other services in that, Boardman and Irrigan.
Right.
So how do you fragment it from just those? And if you look at it operationally, how we're operating it, and what the levy is having to subsidize it for would be a different amount if he operated it.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is it's nowhere near $1 million of taxpayer dollars to subsidize this operation. It does get subsidized, but not to the tune of $1 million.
And I think the 39-cent tax rate on that area is less than $1 million by quite a bit, isn't it? You know, Nicole?
I don't.
You know how? You know what the? You know, John? I don't know. I should know, but I don't know.
Mike, do you know? John,
this is Mike. What was the question? You want to know how much money the health district gets off their local option?
Yeah.
From those.
Countywide last year, certified amount was $783,599.26.
Thanks, Mike. And that's 100% of the county, and the Boardman-Irrigan area is probably, what, 85% of the value, somewhere around there. So it's,
I would have to do that analysis to get a... Yeah.
Anyways, it's not 100%. It's less than the $700,000 number that you gave us. So.
And I agree that... But part of their permanent levy also goes towards ambulance service as well. So it's not just the temporary levy. It's a part of the permanent levy that was in place to begin with, and then they added the temporary levy later.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Those are questions that I need a legal answer to. That doesn't make sense to me.
And I think, John, if I might address your challenge there just a little bit. I think in this position, we're tasked with not, you know, if the level of service in the county is an 8 across the board right now, and to take it to a 9 in one portion reduces the other to a 7, that's problematic, certainly. So I think we've got to look at, you know, 8 or above, like, we, you know, for the entirety. So I think that's kind of at least my approach.
Yeah, my approach is if we increase the service in the north end of the county, it can't be at the detriment of the south end of the county. I mean, the south end of the county has got to be made whole on this. But, yeah, I mean, it just, you can't do that.
Right. No, no, yeah. I wouldn't advocate that either.
Us frequent flyers would be sad.
So I think we get some legal answers done pretty quick, and we let the two districts see if there's some collaboration that can happen that makes sense. And then
we'll sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. The ambulances, they're right adjacent to the Boardman Fire. That's
correct.
That's,
yeah,
the Moore County Health, correct? Yeah.
Moore County.
So when the fire station moves to the new building, etc., mm-hmm. Well, what happens there? Is that independent of that whole lot, etc.?
Yeah, they're two separate.
So that at least initially just stay there as a plan.
Yeah, gotcha. And Boardman Fire hasn't determined yet what they're going to do with that building.
What's a big building?
I mean, the big fire building. You know, we'll probably take a lot of public input on it, decide what to do. We'll probably still have a need for some of it to house some equipment, but the rest of it's going to be surplus. And what do you do for the public benefit with that surplus?
Just also a note, not necessarily relevant to this conversation, but we also have plans to build an ambulance hall in Irrigan. We're waiting on the land deal to finalize. We've already got the architectural drawings, but that entire project is currently sitting on hold while we have these conversations as well. So we currently have plans for the new ambulance hall as well as the district. So there's just another, there's lots of many components to this. So that's just one of the pieces.
Well, it would have been done if Capco hadn't taken so long to get it figured out. Sorry about that. Yep.
I think
you're not wrong.
It's going to be good, the Center for the Arts right there.
Well, it may be. I mean, we had early on, we had talks about you know, giving it to the Boardman Food Pantry, but they end up buying the Lutheran Church across the street. So,
exactly.
Okay, so I think that's where I'd like to leave it, is we find out the answer to some legal questions, and then see if the two districts can collaborate on a way to improve service at least in one part of the area, not to the detriment of another part of the area. And then we'll schedule another meeting once we find out the answer to at least the legal questions.
Because the OHA has charged us, and this is my fourth one I've written for them to approve. They've never wrote us up for anything. All their inspections, they come over and clean. So the whole district has been good from OHA, Oregon Health Authority, the ambulance service.
Just
in the whole county.
A quick aside, you know, a year or so ago, Bill Harvey and Mark Bennett, Commissioner Bennett, were having a big to-do with the state relative to ambulance service on the interstate. Do you recall what that was about, and trying to get additional funding, et cetera?
I don't know the answer to that. I know that you don't get any tax revenue for calls on the interstate. You know, it's, you go out there, and if you can bill a person, they pay it, and if you can't, then it's just, you know, that's part of your public mission.
It's off the weeds, but I'll follow up with them and try and see what it was about.
So while we're still in this work session, for the betterment of the community today, I would offer to the health district to have their people go to 24-hour shifts as soon as possible, tomorrow. And they can be stationed right in the station. We have the sleeping facilities, we have the showers, we have the cooking facilities, we have those capabilities to immediately go to 24-hour-a-day staffing if they want to do that. So, again, no matter what the outcome is, you know, the end game is what's best for the community, and sharing resources, and the only offshoot it is that I'm trying to improve fire service at the same time.
Okay. Looks like you and Daryl got some work to do in council.
Yeah. Sorry, Daryl.
Nope, that's all right.
Let us know what you find out, and we'll commit to working with Chief Hughes on seeing if we can come up with solutions outside of this as well. Chief Hughes and I actually had a conversation, I think, on Monday, where we kind of started down some of that pathway, at least established where both of us were sitting currently, I think. So I think after this conversation, there's some further ideas that we can explore.
Yeah, it seems to me like right now is the opportune time with the new facility being built in Boardman. If you have plans sometime in the future to go to 24-hour staffing, you talk to Chief Hughes, and that gets incorporated into the plan, and whether there's ever a merging of the districts or not, at least, you know, it makes sense to me to
There's no reason work out we can't be in the same facility or going out at the same time.
And our buildings are so linked at the hip now. The Boardman Fire building, the primary building we use now, isn't large enough that our employees can park on our property, and we have an agreement with the health district that we park on their property.
Yep.
And when we used to have school and functions at the school, nobody parked on either one of those properties because they were full of parents that are trying to watch their kid at the play. But anyway, I think this is a great opportunity while that facility is being designed to see if there's some symbiotic relationships that can happen. So, okay, we'll get that done, and next meeting will be to be determined. How's that?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want the ambulance to beat my wife to me.
Good luck with that.
Do you have insurance?
Oh, Nicole, that hurt.
If you make an appropriate time.
I just want you to do the reverse.